I know that in this room today, there are hurting folks. In this room today, there are sick folks. In this room, there is grieving, there is sorrow, there is disappointment, there's sadness, there's lots of things wrong with us. Also, in this very room, there is joy, there is excitement, there is satisfaction, there is comfort, there is deliverance, there is hope. All that exists within us at the same time. As I was visiting with several folks this week, people nearing the end of life, people going through just a horrible sickness, disease, sorrow, disappointment, sadness, joy, expectation, hope, all existing, one wins out. One wins out. My question is, what is winning in your heart? What is winning with you? Is it the sadness, the sorrow, the disappointment, the frustration? Or is it the hope, the expectation of better things to come? My hope and my prayer is that you have set your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, in whom all things exist, who all things subsist, through all things will ultimately exist in Him. That's my hope and my prayer. Today, this is the day called Homecoming, and it's been called that for a long time. We celebrate this year 104 years since the establishment of Dolan Baptist Church. It's a long time. And in that time, there have been people just in the same types of situations that we're in, who have struggled, who have prevailed, who have won, who have been defeated and come back. So it's not anything brand new for us today. Okay? But I want to pray for you today, because I know, I look out and through conversations I've had this week, even this morning and yesterday and in days past, I know that there are folks going through a multitude of situations right now. May I pray for you as your pastor? My Father in heaven, I come before you this morning. And Lord, I lift your people up to you. These people who you have given to me to minister to here in this place. Father, I thank you for each and every one of them. And Lord, we are in a multitude of circumstances right now. I know that there are many who are grieving and heartbroken. I know that there are many who are under the weather and sick. And I know that how frustrating that is, both on both fronts. Father, I know that there are people who are having a hard time getting over a severe disappointment. Father, I know that there are people who are physically limited and cannot do the things that they emotionally and spiritually want to be able to do. And that is also frustrating. But Father, I pray that the peace that passes all understanding would come and rest upon this place. I pray, Father, that the joyful expectation that we can have in Jesus Christ will overwhelm and overshadow any of those dark feelings while they still exist, while we still mourn and while we still grieve, while we still experience frustrations. And Father, give us that. Help us to set our eyes and focus on that hope that is Jesus Christ. Father, we are so grateful to you for providing us Jesus, your very Son, sent here because you knew we couldn't come to you without him. And you desired to have us with you. Thank you for wanting us. Thank you for choosing us. Father, may we choose you. In Jesus' name, amen. 104 years, that's a long time. That's older than me. That's older than you. For some of us, that's older than both of us put together. Okay? Long time. In honor of that number, 104, I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalm 104. This is a psalm that I want you to pay attention to these words. I'm going to read it in its entirety. Okay? I want you to pay attention to these words as it talks about the creative power and the genius of God Almighty, the creator and maker of all things. All right? And I'm going to ask you, if you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Psalm 104, beginning in verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent, and he lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes wind his messengers. Flames of fire are his servants. He sets the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with watery depths as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. They flowed over the mountains and went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary that they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for the people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nest. The stork has its home in the junipers. The high mountains belong to the wild goat. Their crags are a refuge for the hyrax. He made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, and it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises, and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then people go out to their work until their labor and then to labor until evening. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom, you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, the Leviathan which you formed to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. And when you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created. When you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditations be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. God bless the reading of his word today. This psalmist, whom is unidentified in this particular psalm, We see him here giving glory to God for all that he has created. From the waters, to everything in the waters, to the mountains, to the goat, the lion, the prey, the birds, the trees, everything, the springs, everything is God is given credit as the creator of all things. He reminds us that everything has been created and belongs to God. And it was created for God. This church started some 104 years ago. Although chartered by the founding members who have long gone since then, it was not created by those men and by those women. We honor and we give thanks to them for they were working under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to place this church, originally created by God, here in this place for His glory and for His purposes. These men and women, 104 years ago, they understood that they were being placed in a role of stewardship for God's creation, the church. Stewardship simply means management. They were the managers, not the owners of the church. A good manager takes care of whatever he's or she is responsible for, an organization. They make decisions in the best interest of the organization. They're responsible to work within the means of the organization to accomplish the goals of the organization. That role of responsibility has been passed down through the decades and now rests upon our shoulders. We are the stewards or managers of this church, not the owners. God has retained ownership of His church. It was created by God, for God, way back then. It is sustained by God and still exists for God today. The men and women who chartered this church, who first organized and began to meet here on this property, they were following the leadership of the Lord. There have been many members of this church who have come, dedicated, worked, sacrificed. There have been pastors, other ministers who have worked and contributed and accomplished the goals of the times here in this place. And we are the recipients of a great and rich heritage of that. But there's also the responsibility of stewardship that is placed upon us. We're to continue that work, to keep furthering the kingdom of God. I thank God for those men and women, for the pastors who have labored in this pulpit, who have labored in the community, who have labored in your homes, in the homes of those from long ago. But I can't just rest upon their work. The work is now ours. Because someday, should the Lord tarry His coming, somebody down the road is going to be able to look back and say, I'm so glad that back in 2017, I'm so glad that back in 2017, those men and women and young folks, they were working hard because we wouldn't have what we have now if it hadn't been for them. We wouldn't be able to reach the community. We wouldn't have the resources. We wouldn't have the means to do some of the things that we feel like God's calling us to do today, some years down the road, had it not been for what happens here and now. So there is a great responsibility that is now placed upon our shoulders as the stewards of this church. I love what it says in verse 31. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. Let us not forget that this church is God's and it exists for Him so that He may rejoice in His works. Not so that He may rejoice in my works. Not so that He may rejoice in your works. So that He may rejoice in His works. It just so happens that God uses you and me to accomplish His work. My prayer is that God will continue to find people here in this church who understand that and who desire to be a part of God's work so that He may ultimately be honored and glorified. So what is our responsibility in this whole deal? Well, let's take a look at verse 34 and 33 and 34. The psalmist writes, I will sing to the Lord all my life. Okay, there's one thing we can do. He goes on, I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. There's no end to it. There's no end to it. As long as I live, as long as I draw breath on this earth, I will honor and sing praise to God. How many of you know what we're going to be doing for all of eternity? After we take that last breath here, our next breath is in heaven if we're a believer in Jesus Christ. And let me pause here for a second. I need to make very clear. I believe that most of you know, but there may be somebody that doesn't quite understand. I need to make very clear. Heaven is not a guarantee for every living soul on this earth. Nowhere will you find that except in today's wishful thinking. The Bible tells us there is one way. One way to God, and that is through the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So the good news is that if you have placed your hope and your faith in Jesus Christ and you put your trust in Him, there is that hope. That your very next breath, as soon as you draw your last breath here on this earth, your very next breath will be drawn in the presence of God. The Bible is also very clear that if you don't profess and confess Jesus as your Lord, and you don't live your life according to His will here in this place, and you haven't given yourself to Him, the Bible has another destination. And it's called by many names, Hades, hell, the burning fire, the lake of fire. Folks, eternity is a long, 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 long time. It has no end. For me, I'm going to sing praises to my Lord, my God, all of my life. And as soon as my next breath, I'm going to have an even better voice, and I'm going to be singing praise to my God for all of eternity in heaven. How about you? And if you're not sure on that, we can remedy that today. Not that I have the power to save you. I do not, would not want it, because I would probably be irresponsible with it. But my God is faithful. And if you're in that boat today where you're not sure, you don't know, I would like to have an opportunity to you and I just go to the Lord together and allow Him to reach down, to give you assurance, and to save your soul for all of eternity. It is real, and it's coming one day. Oh, where was I? I got off my page, off my notes. Got all wrapped up. Verse 34, may my meditations be pleasing to Him as I rejoice in the Lord. What are my meditations? That's my prayer time. That's my time when I take the Word of God that I have read and studied, and I think about it, and I contemplate on it, and I wonder exactly what was God saying here. And I look and I dig and say, who is He talking to, first of all? Who is He talking to? And I study all that. That's a meditation. When I think about, when I wake up, and maybe you have a place. I was talking with a gentleman this morning who loves the warm, sultry mornings. I'm not a big fan, okay? But still, he is. He likes to be able to get out on those warm, sultry mornings before the sun comes up, before it gets to like 100 degrees, with his cup of coffee, and just take in God's creation. Read by the light of the moon or by the light of his phone. That's a time of meditation. To get there and think about God's... This has been a time of meditation for this psalmist. He's talking about all the things that God has created and how everything is created by God. May my meditations be pleasing to Him as I rejoice in the Lord. We have a responsibility to rejoice in the Lord. To honor God, period. To honor Him with our praise, with our singing, with our meditations. To honor God in our lifestyle, in our work, and in our homes. To honor God in both our finances, both the way we spend the money. And remember, God provided that money to begin with. All things belong to God, remember? So the way that I spend His money, and may He be honored by the way we show our appreciation to God for His provisions by bringing the tithe and the offerings and giving it back to God. Let us not forget that we are the stewards. We are the managers of this church right here in this place and this time. And it is our responsibility to make sure that the church has the means to continue God's work until His return. And since we don't know when that is, we've got to plan. We've got to prepare. We've got to continue to grow and continue to build. Someday, somewhere, somebody is going to need what we're providing today. God has already provided that money. Isn't that so great? God has done that. Where is it, you may ask? Well, it's in our wallets. It's in our bank accounts. It's in our future paychecks that's coming down the road, which, by the way, is also provided by God. It's up to us to manage it well. But I believe that there is more required than just managing finances, managing resources, and singing and meditating and rejoicing. I believe there's more than that. Look at the final verse of this chapter. The first part of that final verse says, "May the sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord." Now, you may be thinking, now why did he go there? That sounds pretty heartless. That sounds pretty mean, wanting the sinners to vanish and be no more and the wicked to be gone. Well, I don't think what is intended for us here today is to pray that God would wipe out the sinners and the wicked, that He would strike them down and get rid of them from the earth. But He could. But I believe God's desire is to see them come to know Him. How do I know that? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9 says this, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God desires for us to return. God desires for us to turn and repent and come back to Him. That's why He created us, for that fellowship, that relationship. Yes, may the sinners and the wicked vanish from the earth. I pray that. I agree with that. But not through destruction, but because we, the church, have shared with them the hope and the promise of Jesus Christ, and they are no longer a sinner. They are no longer wicked. Not only are we given the responsibility to be good stewards of what God has given us, but we are also charged with showing people how to be changed from a sinner to a saint, from wicked to righteous, thus making the sinner and the wicked vanish from the earth. You see, I don't have an idea in my mind about God with the lightning bolts in His hand, you know, the gray flowing beard and the lightning bolts, the gold chain around His neck. It's not how I see God. I don't want to call down the destruction of anybody who's sinning and wicked in God's eyes, which, you know, here's the deal, folks. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, we're all in that boat. Okay. Somebody, I actually heard on the radio this week, a guy was saying, why can't God just do away with disobedience and evil? And just wipe it, all those people just wipe them out. And the guy who answered said, well, you know that means you too, right? He could wipe it all out. He could just take you out. And me. And the person to your left, the person to your right. But that's not what the message is. The message is that there's a message of hope. The message is that that hope is not just for you and for me. That hope is for people that don't yet know of the hope. That's why this church exists. to share that news, to share that message. I just want to ask a question. If you're not ashamed or too afraid, how many of you are a believer in Jesus Christ today because of somebody in this church shared with you the hope of Jesus Christ? Anybody? Wow. Wow. Quite a few. Some, as I look around, some of this happened some time back, right? Under different leadership with a completely different group of people. But it's the same mission that's going on today in this church. Later this month, in this summer, we're going to be taking another mission trip. We're going to be going up to a place in Illinois. Folks, there are folks up there that can be touched by this body of believers. There are people at your work. There are people in your homes. People in your family, in your extended families, that need the hope and the encouragement that Jesus Christ, that only Jesus Christ can offer. That's our responsibility. That's why we're placed here. You may look around and say, why are we out here in the middle of nowhere? That's one of the first questions my wife asked when we came to Dolan some 7 years ago. There's nothing around. Well, way back when, it was a community, okay? We're still here. The community really is kind of gone. There's no sense of community here. The church is the only thing in the community except for houses and homes that aren't really close to one another. But God has us here for something. God has us here for a reason. Wherever we are, if we were to pick this whole place up and move it 50 miles one way or the other, the mission doesn't change. Share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our mission. That's our mission. It has been passed to us, and we are now the stewards of that mission. Let's do it well, because down the road, somebody's going to be able to need to look back and go, wow, even in 2017, they were continuing the mission that started in 1913. And here in 20, whatever it is, should the Lord tarry his coming, they're still continuing. I hope and pray that they're still continuing what we're doing today. Amen. We've got to continue to do it today, though. Let's praise God. Let's meditate on His Word. Let's rejoice in Him. Let's pray that God would use us to help the sinners and the wicked vanish from the earth because they've been converted. They've been transformed into a new creation, just like the Bible tells us. That's our responsibility. May God find us faithful as He has surely been faithful to us. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come to You this morning thanking You for the rich heritage of this church and how You have used men and women in this church and young folks in this church to change lives forever. And there are people in this room right now who are a testimony to that life-saving knowledge that has been shared with them through this church sometime in the past. Father, it very well may be that there's someone in this room this morning that has heard that message today. And Lord, it's my sincere and deepest prayer that if they are in this place today and they've heard that message and they say, I need to be transformed. I want to have that hope that You're talking about. I want to be encouraged. I want to have that assurance. And I want to trust in Jesus today. Lord, I pray that today would be their day. Or there may be others who are here and they say, you know what? I was just thinking about me and myself. And I've taken care of my business with God and I hadn't really been thinking about other people. But I recognize that as a part of this church and a part of the continuing mission of this church, I've got to be thinking about other folks, and I want to begin doing that today. Lord, change our hearts. Change our minds. Transform us into the likeness of Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.